Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
In a world just like our own, because it is, but in a time beyond the future, in the future's future, where technology has surpassed all bounds, humanity struggles to maintain its identity in the face of artificial intelligence, which is like a normal face, but a bit creepy. Imagine those Hollywood stars who have gone too far and look like facial meat slabs, marginally more convincingly human than that, but still a little off, you know. The once boundless skies now host massive anti-grav cities, towers piercing the stratosphere, reaching towards the vastness of space. Here the half-human technocrat lords live, if it can be called living, powered by advanced battery sources and protected by sophisticated security systems. The line between man and machine has blurred. VAT-grown enhancement and cybernetic implants have become the norm. In this high-tech dystopia, a small group of rebels rises against the oppressive government, determined to reclaim their freedom and restore the natural order of things. Little do they know their journey will take them on a thrilling adventure, revealing the true potential of humanity and the shocking truth behind their own existence. The truth that is... The Gargle. Welcome to The Gargle. This is the Sonic Glossy Magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for visual world. I'm your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Eleanor Morton and John Luke Roberts. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, thank you.
Thank you.
I wasn't thanking you, Eleanor. I was thanking the host, actually. I have no...
We can all thank each other.
Thanks, everyone. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Alice.
We exist in mutual interdependence as part of a community, a small community within a wider community. Podcasters are a subset of comedians, although really the Venn diagram overlap between podcasters and comedians is a circle.
It's a circle.
Before we turn on our recording devices and podcast into the future of our top stories this week, let's have a look at the front cover. The front cover this week is Leonardo DiCaprio's new, and I do mean new, 19-year-old girlfriend. It is a funny thing to see the outrage online, because of course it doesn't affect him. He's old enough that he doesn't know how the internet works, and he's also old enough that when he was young, it was still considered okay for a man in his 50s to date a 19-year-old. For context, in case you weren't horrified, that means she was 12 when Trump was elected. That her high school prom was probably on Zoom because of COVID. She is over the age of consent. Let's be clear, she is over the age of consent, though if you use the phrase not technically illegal too much, you turn into Woody Allen. To be fair, he is just irresistibly attracted to old souls, specifically old souls encased in hot bodies controlled by the brains of teenage girls. Our satirical cartoon this week is Lloyd's of London, the boss of Lloyd's of London, warning that the UK's financial reputation has been dented by the last couple of years of bad financialness, pointing out that its reputation was built on transactional fairness laws that privilege business deal-making and centuries of just nicking stuff from other countries to fuel the relentless expansion of a bloated, aspirational middle class. And friend's own news now, this is the news that a Singapore man has sued a woman for just wanting to be friends. Eleanor Morton, you just want to be friends with me. Can you unpack this story?
Sure, yeah. So this man in Singapore was very upset that a woman, a friend of his, didn't want to go any further with the friendship than friendship. And how dare she? Because as we know, women's intrinsic value is only sexual, and being friends with a woman is rubbish, as I'm sure John Luke can attest. So he's taken her to court for, I think it's emotional damages, that's something like that. And he wants to sue her for about 1.87 million English pounds, or the Singapore equivalent. You know what? I love the confidence. I love the confidence. And apparently he's got emotional trauma. And, you know, if he wins this, this means we can all just start, you know, taking people to court for whatever we like, which I'm not opposed to.
Well, I don't think he will win. He's been dismissed previously as suggesting that this the claim has an ulterior motive of vexing or oppressing the defendant.
No, I don't think so. No, no, no.
Apparently, they have been friends since 2016. In 2020, they became misaligned about how they saw their relationship. While the defendant only regarded this guy as a friend, he considered her his closest friend, which is dangerous territory if any of you have a closest friend, because that's, you know, all relationships are linear along a graph heading towards Bone Town, and it's just a matter of how fast you're moving with the barista down the corner or the guy who you just catch the bus with.
It's exhausting. I mean, my closest friend is John Roberts, and I assume that eventually we will marry, and if he doesn't want to do that, I will sue him. So,
yeah, the difficulty is, of course, we share a therapist, and I think if we get married, we probably have to get different.
No, well, that's couples, so, couples therapist.
No, I'm going to divert the rail we're on to Bone Town to a different track. I'm going to make my own trolley problem.
That has caused me emotional trauma by implying that not everyone would want to be my closest friend.
I mean, all friend zone problems are the trolley problem, right? It's the train is going in one direction and you got to decide whether you touch the lever or not.
How many people's lives do you ruin? Nice.
For anyone who's euphemistically disabled, in that instance, the lever was a stand-in for the penis.
Oh, I got it now.
Wait, but isn't it a third party who's throwing the lever?
You are the third party.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. You can either sue your friend or keep creeping them out. Is that options? Is that the options?
You can do both.
Yeah.
The judgment said that she'd spent years, quote, massaging the claimant's unhappiness, end quote, but is now standing up to his threats.
And of course, unhappiness is what penis is short for.
Sounds good to have a punner.
He's suing her because he says that this has damaged his stellar reputation. And that's the stellar reputation. This is Kay Korshagan, is the name of the guy here, who I had no idea about before he launched this particular legal action, thus ensuring his reputation is much wider than it was previously and much, much worse.
Yeah, one might argue that this is a very public example of what he does privately in his bedroom, which is called a cell phone.
Hey. I've been working through recently with our shared therapist, like working through the shame I have at being a man. So I'd like to thank the gargle for introducing me to this story and really testing the progress that I've made.
But doesn't it make you feel good that you've never tried to sue a woman for that? This isn't that doesn't that?
Oh, Eleanor, it's only a matter of time, isn't it?
I mean, you can't let.
I'll wake up one morning. There'll be the papers there. I go, oh God, what did I do last night? Sued a woman. No. Typical man.
Your ads now, because you can't be what you can't buy. Hi, do you like snakes? Do you want 500 snakes? I just wanted one snake, but I accidentally ordered 500 snakes, and now I can't leave my bathroom. They said they'd take them back, but they don't do refunds, only store credit, and all they sell is more snakes. So, now you can buy snakes from me at takemysnakes.com. Please buy 500 snakes. I'm begging you. What if I told you there was one product that could help you see at night and navigate the ocean? What if I told you it also controlled the tides? What if I told you it could even transform werewolves? Sounds too good to be true? That's because you're an idiot. Introducing the Mega Hat. It's a torch, a compass, a tide machine, a werewolf transformation ray, and a hat. The Mega Hat. Impress your friends, then turn them into a wolf. She's a Nobel-winning scientist, a mother, and the only one who can save the planet. So why won't anyone hear what she has to say? Because she's also a mime. Please make it stop. The heartwarming story of how one species let the world end rather than having to watch a mime. First there was Coke, then there was Pepsi, first there was the stick, then there were machine guns. First there was democracy, now there's whatever we have now. progress isn't always improvement. In that spirit, we'd like to introduce half a glass of water. It sounds like half a glass of water, but it's actually half of a glass completely full of water. Half a glass of water. Legally different from half a glass of water.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Groundhog dead news now, and this is the news that Quebec's weather groundhog was found dead on Groundhog Day, unlike Bill Murray. John Luke Roberts, you have recurring days. Can you unpack this story?
Yes. So in Quebec, there's this old tradition, I don't know if you know about it, where in America and North America, they pick a groundhog up, and if it sees its own shadow, that means that there's 6 more weeks of winter. It's a kind of Jungian tradition.
And how dare they call us whimsical when they're doing shit like that?
Yeah.
How dare they?
Yeah, I know. And if it doesn't see it, it's early spring. So, well, and it gets more whimsical, Eleanor, because Quebec's, this groundhog is called Fred La Marmotte, which translates as Fred the Marmot. And they went in to get him, to bring him out, and he was discovered dead. I would like to stress they didn't pick up the corpse and hold it aloft in front of the crowd, which would have been worse. Oh, it happened in the part of Quebec was in Val d'Espoir, which is near Gaspé, which is, of course, what the crowd did when they heard the news. Yes. So having found the dead groundhog, they couldn't then get the groundhog to see his shadow or not. Although I think that counts as the groundhog not seeing his shadow.
No.
Or I guess you could be seeing his shadow too closely.
Yes, so, I mean, this is what they have to do. They have to see if they're... They have to track this back. They have to get, like, a good detective on the case, like the one in Knives Out, Daniel Craig. They have to get Daniel Craig on the case to track if there are 6 more weeks of winter, in which case you will know what killed the groundhog, which was the terror of seeing its own shadow.
Oh, I see. Well, because they did get a child who had a hat on, a groundhog hat on. They got the child to come up and predict whether it would be 6 more weeks of winter or an early spring, which seems to me to be sort of, I know, and sort of damning that child. Like, look what happened to the last one to do this. You're next.
Trail of children and rodents.
Sorry, just to clarify, was the hat the child wearing the dead groundhog?
maybe he was gifted the dead groundhog at the end. I don't know.
I'm really enjoying the article, which I think is the Montreal blog, because the headline is, Quebec's weather groundhog was found dead on Groundhog Day. He could never have predicted this. This is going to sound harsh. I don't actually think he can predict anything, dead or alive. Well, I know it's controversial.
But also I like the idea that the groundhogs can predict almost anything, but you only ever use them to predict whether they're going to be 6 more weeks of winter.
It's too dangerous. It's too dangerous to get in to do other stuff. You don't want him to predict the lottery, like that octopus that did it.
The only thing that seers can't see is their own death.
Oh, yeah. Is that true? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it's true in the fiction books that I've read about seers.
Is that a true myth that's true?
It's a real lie that some people have told, that enough people have told that it's become a sort of a canonical thing in the, you know, vague ether of shared conceptual frameworks that people tap into when they write their uninspired fantasy novels.
Is it a bit like the ravens in the tower?
In what way could it be like the crows in
when the ravens in the tower leave, that's meant to be bad, and one of them did die the other year, and there's only 8 of them.
So when the groundhog dies, the weather stops. There will be no more weather.
Oh, God. This is what every climate change scientist has been praying for. We can't solve this through technology, but we can solve this through strategic groundhog murder.
We need to stop putting so much faith in animals to predict the way it's going to go for us as a species. I don't think they know.
Is it cows who, like, they lie down when it's going to rain or stand up when it's not?
True.
Isn't it?
It's not true.
Isn't it?
I mean, they do stand up and sit down.
Well, I'm half right then.
It doesn't say anything apart from that cow is tired or that cow is...
Have you monitored them? Have you monitored them?
No.
Or have you just decided...
No, and you can't prove anything. So, no. No, but I have a very cynical conservationist father who likes to tell me about how all of these things are nonsense. So, crush all my dreams of whimsical animal... predictions.
What do you think about the Great Reset theory?
What's the Great Reset? What's the Great Reset?
The Great Reset happens when a Jew sees his own shadow.
It's the big conspiracy. It's the new one. It's the New World Order thing. It's the one that's going now. It's the you know.
I can't keep up. It was space lasers. Now it's...
There's so much anti-Semitism at the moment, and, you know, I've got, you know, Holocaust survivors in my background, so I may be slightly paranoid, but I did just watch a cake baking show in which the first episode was, like, quite an unpleasant Jewish mother planning a cake for her incredibly greedy son for his bar mitzvah, and then the second episode was, like, a gorgeous Palestinian couple who were, like, having their baby announcement after a long time trying to get pregnant, and I thought, this is anti-Semitic.
Well, hang on, but which bit? The filming of, the planning of, or the existence
the
of
casting,
these
the casting, I think. The existence of these people, yeah. So, sometimes you just meet someone and you're, you, sir, are anti-Semitic.
I don't know why I'm laughing, it's all very sad.
It's very difficult to also to engage in this... basically, we should just let you, Alice, make all these jokes, and we should sit making no negative or positive.
Yeah, just sort of laughing in a way that suggests we support you, but we're not laughing with you unless that's what you want. In which case, yes.
Yeah, we're not laughing with you if it confirms your own damaging ideas.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. This is self-loathing. Then, hang on.
Do we know the religion of the groundhog?
Do we know the religion of the groundhog? Whether it was pandering to the mainstream?
I don't know. Is it? Part of a wider conspiracy, if it was, you know, why did they want the groundhog dead? Yeah?
Maybe the religion of a groundhog would be born again and 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 again. Oh, no, I've got the letters.
And now it's time for your reviews section now. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something to review out of 5 stars. Eleanor Morton, what have you brought in for us to review?
I'm going to review The Price of Milk. It's too high. It's too damn high.
Do you know the price of milk? I ask you like you're a politician.
Oh, I'm going to be found out as somebody who doesn't drink milk. Yes, and it is atrocious. A pint is now £1 for a pint, for a wee one, in the ScotMid across from me, I should clarify. But that is a 200% rise from last time I checked milk, which was maybe about 10 years ago. So that's really bad.
It's pretty bad. That is pretty bad. I was speaking to someone the other day who was Swiss and had been asked at his English girlfriend's Christmas to go out and buy 10 pounds of cheese and bought 10 pounds weight of cheese.
Oh, my God.
Which was too much cheese.
10 pounds, 10 pounds of cheese is one block of cheese at the moment.
Yes, but 10...
10 weights of cheese is a lot of cheese.
A lot of cheese.
I don't know. You can get through a lot of cheese if you really want to.
I'm going to tell you a story now. And it's about the really want to part of that sentence, which is as teenagers, we went on a holiday to Italy and then we were flying back. And my dad's friend Renzo gave us a very large block of Parmigiano Reggiano cheese. Sort of one of those sort of, he had a deli person in his family and had access to wholesale quantities of Parmigiano Reggiano. And as we began the descent into Sydney, Dad realised that he had not put it into our checked baggage And also, it would not pass through the Australian biosecurity. They said any dairy you have to dump or declare. And my dad, I don't think he understood the declare part of that. And he decided that what we needed to do was eat.
No.
This very large block of Parmigiano Reggiano, which, let me tell you, after 24 hours in the air, massively dehydrated, the last thing you want to be eating in chunks is the driest cheese ever invented.
It's not a chunk cheese.
It's not a chunk cheese.
It's
I know this.
It's not a cheese for chunk consumption. It's a grating cheese.
Genuinely, the memory is so burned into my memory that my tongue shrivels when I tell the story. I can remember the feeling of just rasping dry sandpaper cheese. How many stars?
One
star. John Luke, what have you brought in for us?
Right. Well, on Sunday, I left my house to go to my circuit training session, which I do because I'm very healthy and do things like that for my health. And I grabbed my keys and I grabbed my wallet and I left my phone in the flat and I left and I went to this place and then I did the thing and then I, an hour later, came out and I went and I bought a cup of coffee and then I returned to my front door and I took the keys out of my pocket and in my hand the keys transformed not into my keys but into another set of keys that I was looking after for somebody else. And in the sort of the next 20-30 seconds of comprehension that I had not taken my keys out of my flat but I pulled the door closed behind me, it dawned on me that I was locked out. So I was locked out of my flat, so I'm going to review the process of being locked out of one's flat. And actually, it might surprise you how this one goes. My neighbour very kindly let me phone the locksmith from his phone. And in the next hour of waiting for the locksmith, I didn't have my phone. I was outside walking through the park. I felt so mindful, so in the moment. And I wasn't able to look at my phone for anything. So really, the act of being locked out gave me a great sense of presence and well-being. And then the locksmith was an hour and a half late and I had to try and keep that sort of nice. It didn't work. I got more and more anxious. He finally turned up and in 1 minute he just drilled through the door and then got a little coat hanger type thing and pulled it open, let me in. So in the end, there's things I gained from being locked out of my house. The first one being the experience of having been locked out of my house and the things that I lost from being locked out of my house, which was largely the act of being locked out of my house. So I will give being locked out of your house 3 stars out of 5.
I've learned so much, which is that if I ever forget my keys, what I need to remember is a drill.
Yeah, I think you need some sort of, well, I would say training, but really it did just seem to stick it in and sort of poke it around until it opened. So I think you could probably do it by chance.
Less clumpy universe news now, and this is the news that the universe might be less clumpy than we thought it was, and that the fact that it's less clumpy would indicate the existence of mysterious forces. God? Question mark. Probably not! Exclamation mark. John Luke, can you unpack this story for us?
Well, yes and no. I can reiterate that yes, the universe has been found to be less clumpy than expected, and that's been done by scientists working for the Dark Energy Survey, which sounds villainous, let's be honest here, and the South Pole Telescope. Don't need know why they need a telescope for the South Pole. It's really big. You could see it with your naked eye. But what I don't understand, and this seems to me to be kind of the problem, because this news, they say it's like surprising. It came as no surprise to me because I had no preconceptions about the clumpiness or otherwise of the universe. And it does seem to point to a gulf, really, between the sophistication and complexity of scientific understanding and what the lay people can understand, which has resulted in a news story telling us, so the universe is kind of, so it's a bit, I guess the way we put it is less clumpy? It's less clumpy, yeah. They might as well have been saying, like, oh, the universe, it's not nearly as grouchy as we thought, or like, it's a bit more slatted, you know, goofier than we were expecting. So this is the news. Yes, the universe is less clumpy. That's the word they settled on for what they think that we common people can understand. But my favourite thing is there's 3 explanations for why the universe has turned out to be less clumpy. One of which is the scientific model is completely wrong. A second one is a bit of the scientific model is a bit wrong. And the third one is there's a problem with the equipment. And I like number 3.
Well, look, I think you're missing the very important 4th one. The universe is wrong.
Ah.
And we yeah. are correct.
I'm going to sue the universe because I thought we were going to have a really special, closest relationship, and the universe has really, like, the universe has really treated me badly, and I'm going to sue the universe for trauma.
I like the way they frame it as a crack could be opening up between theoretical predictions and what's actually going on in the universe, which implies sort of more danger inherent in our wrongness about the universe. But actually, there are no implications to the theoretical wrongness about the universe. We can just be wrong for as long as we want. We could be so wrong from the beginning to the end, all of our predictions could be based on falsehoods. And the implications of that for the universe are nothing. There's no point at which the universe goes, I feel seen. You
know? No, but maybe that is it. But right, I'm going to bring in some, like, I don't know if you know, I'm a trained clown. And in the clown world, I think I might be able to explain this. They say that, so your clown, your inner clown is it's the thing people find funny about you and maybe laugh about you behind your back. And that's where you're funniest. It's the thing about you which is funniest. And once you find that and you do that on stage and then people laugh at you doing that. But there's a particular kind of clown thing that once you know what your clown is, it's no longer funny, you have to change it. So maybe, as we are the universe's way of considering itself, the closer we get to understanding the universe then changes its rules because it can't, it doesn't want to, it no longer works once we understand what it is. That's my clown theory that's my universal clown theory.
Clown string theory.
Yeah. Clown silly string theory.
String theory.
Silly string theory. Yeah.
I workshopped that.
High five. Pull a flower squirt at you if you Dutch man.
Yeah. I think if I was the universe, I'd be pretty annoyed to be described as clumpy. But as we also pointed out, there is no difference that makes to us as us or the universe.
It's what you mean that you, Eleanor Morton, would be pretty annoyed to be described as clumpy.
Yeah, if I was the universe.
Oh, if you
and
were
just
the
to say
universe.
I'm
okay.
not.
Just if you were the yeah, universe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So you wouldn't be annoyed if somebody described you as clumpy.
And also, as Eleanor Morton, I would also be upset to be described as clumpy.
In many ways, Eleanor.
Yeah.
You are the universe.
Oh, thank you. Wait, you call me clumpy?
Now it's time for our tech news. This is more of an opinion section. This is unpacking the news that the tech industry as a whole is just going on an absolute firing spree, blaming workers for wanting too much money or too many rights. Eleanor Morton, you've used a computer. Can you unpack this story a little for us?
What I can gather from it as a non-tech person is that Elon Musk's Twitter firing rampage, has sort of propped up this view that everyone in tech is actually really selfish and lazy and should all be fired. And we could all run things much better without all these extra people doing their jobs. And as we've seen from the new Twitter, that is absolutely true. It has been a smooth, smooth ride. So I guess it's this fear that we're going to be replaced by machines, which is coming true. But then also that's not because they're better than us. It's because people hiring people are worse at being bosses.
Well, basically, there was a massive surge in the tech industry during the pandemic when everyone was locked inside and could only engage through technology. And so they did a massive hiring spree. And then the pandemic ended and it turns out the people wanted to see the sunlight once more. So they didn't need as many employees. You can have a surge in hiring and then firing or let people go or whatever, downsize if you have to. Just don't blame the workers for wanting money.
It's all part of this quiet quitting thing, isn't it? Which is a terrible phrase, where people are now saying they're only going to do their actual job instead of all the extras that they are, you know, meant to do for free, which is not quitting. That's just doing your job. But because our society is so weirdly capitalist, just doing your job is considered not doing enough, and bosses are very upset about paying people to do their jobs, is what I've gathered from that. I don't know. It's not a world I move in, so I don't understand any of it.
The world of jobs.
The world of jobs.
John Luke.
Humans seem to be the problem, is the view. Like, having a human workforce is the issue. The AI stuff seems to be doing the same kind of thing. It's taking creativity and going, wait, we could just do this through a program rather than have humans be. So you're taking away, like, the ability to work or the jobs that are all there, and then you take away the things you would do in your spare time if you do work, and you give them to the robots as well. So
It's heading towards a sort of layer of executives and then everyone else doing absolutely nothing, either for themselves or for the capitalist structure, and just sort of sitting there watching all these other things and then sharing all these other things, doing that. I don't understand this story.
No, we don't. We're artists. We can't comprehend.
We're artists. We don't know what tech is.
Well, it's a bunch of very wealthy people deciding that workers are entitled, feeling that the workers are, yes, have an entitled attitude towards compensation, yes, when right, they generally, as a class, are the people who've been spending just ridiculous amounts of money on this weird startup gambly thing where they all just overhype products that don't have any real function in the hope that one of them will become Facebook, and then just flush it down the toilet and move on to the next one. And then they invented cryptocurrency.
It's fun that all these people, like Zuckerberg and like Musk, who have sort of made this claim to be incredibly sort of intelligent and forward-seeing, be able to pull these things off, have been revealed by their next things that they do to have completely relied on chance, to have been lucky enough to have the money in the first place, to invest in these things and to get the thing
and
that
good PR
comes away and runs. And good PR. When will PR be dehuman? When will that be handed over to AI? Is that already gone to AI?
Long ago. Some of the most artificial people I know work in PR.
This is all funny because it's what we thought the future was going to be. We thought, well, first of all, the Industrial Revolution happened and everyone, the working class, got their jobs taken by robots. And now they're coming from the middle class jobs. And in both instances, that sounds more exciting than it is. That's just quite mundane and depressing. And then instead of all the robots doing our jobs and us being able to just like leisurely sit around and make art and things, we just all get fired and don't have any money. But then also there's this idea that, like, why would we create stuff when AI can do it? Because those people only see the product. None of this is funny, by the way. Because those people only see the product. They don't see the process of creating art as part of why it's good, because they're not artistic people, so they can't picture why you'd want to do any of that for fun.
They're also not artistic people because they can't distinguish between what's produced by an artificial intelligence and what's produced by people. And what's produced by an artificial intelligence is a mean or average of the stuff that it has aggregated. You know, a slightly complicated version of a mean or average, but the vast majority of things that people make are shit. So any mean or average is going to be boring shit. Like, and then also the speed at which AI generates stuff means that the boring shit is very soon going to outpace the good and bad shit that fed it. And it will just be boring shit replicating boring shit until it drowns in its own sameness.
Oh, wouldn't it be exciting if it all just ends with like one face? That this all comes, that there's one figure that is made out of this thing, and all the art that's churned out just turns into this like, to this face, and we start to, and then the face speaks and gives
say?
Us the mundane answer to everything.
It tells us how that groundhog died.
Tells us how the groundhog and suggests we get half a glass of water.
This is the end of the show. I'm flipping through the ads at the back. Eleanor, what have you got to plug?
I am doing the Leicester Comedy Festival at the end of the month, and I have to take 4 trains to get there, so I'd really appreciate if people of Leicester showed up. That'd be really nice, and we'll have a great time. And then also I'm doing some various other dates around the UK throughout the next few months, so it's all on my Twitter. And if you are living in various towns in England, not Scotland, then please come to those shows.
Excellent. John Luke, what have you got to plug?
Thank you for calling me excellent, John Luke. I am going to plug. I'm taking my solo show, A World Just Like Our Own, but on tour around the world, which I mean in 2 specific locations. I'm doing it at Leicester this weekend on the 12th, and then Soho Theatre 13th through 15th of February. And then I am going to Australia to perform at the Adelaide Fringe and the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and also doing my show Cabaret Impedimenta. So why not come to those shows?
Do come to those shows. I feel very jealous of you bringing a polished and honed show to the Adelaide Fringe Festival. I will be bringing a brand new show to the Adelaide Fringe Festival from the 28th of February to the 4th of March. It's called Twist. Also, find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser. That's one stop shop for all of my stand-up specials, which you can get there for free, my podcasts, my blogs, my weekly Tea with Alice salons, and my writers' meetings, if you want to come write with me. patreon.com/AliceFraser. Thank you to our roving reporters, Rob Maher and Boz Aster, who sent in the Friend Zone story, C-Lips, who sent in the Less Clumpy Universe story, and James VT, who sent in the Groundhog story. If you would like to be a roving reporter, tweet us at HelloGarglers on Twitter while it lasts. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.